Hello, my name is Nicole, and thank you so much for taking this time out to listen. Please forgive me, I'm a bit under the weather, but this is a message that I couldn't let slip by, and it is titled, The Jealous Christian Heterosexual. The Jealous Christian Heterosexual. Now, how does one go from being saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, being at peace with one's decision to walk with Christ, only to start feeling a bit jealous in some circles? No issue with sexual identity or anything like that. The person is straight. But there's some type of feeling on the inside that starts looking at people around them with jealous eyes. And we're not talking about just any people. We're talking about the jealous Christian heterosexual having an attitude, a negative countenance around the bisexual, around the lesbian, around the transgender, around the pro-choice, around the drunken, around the atheist, around the drug abuser, around the rich person, around the Christian who looks better than them. All this jealousy. But you're supposed to have a good life, right? You accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, they're all saying, as they start to see something funky, something negative about you. Oh, you talk a lot about God, and, you know, we appreciate your encouragement and being, you know, respectful of our lifestyle and all of that. All of these people who are, dare we say it, out in the world, say to the Christian, but you don't really seem happy. I mean, is this God really as awesome as you claim? Is he really as close to you as you like to go around and brag? So they're watching. They're watching the jealous heterosexual Christian. They're watching to see if you are really prosperous mentally, physically, and spiritually. They are watching to see if you are really comfortable with your sexual identity. Are you really comfortable with your gender? Are you really content with your lifestyle? Oh, they're watching. Even the drunk will offer you a drink because you look a little bit stressed. Even the drug abuser will come over and say, look, hey, this helps me every now and again. Even the wild, just free-spirited type will invite you to something that has nothing to do with the God that you serve, but even they feel sorry for you. What's wrong with you? The world says, what's wrong with the jealous heterosexual Christian? When this came into my spirit, the Lord reminded me of a time when I first got saved back in 1997, 1998, right in that particular time frame of my life. I started becoming unhappy really fast because I was still in some mess when I got saved. I wasn't cleaned up, which most believers, hey, we're not. We still got some monkeys on our back. And my situation was that I was in this relationship with this individual who, as many of you already know, if you read Laboring to Love an Abusive Mate, was just not stable. And he had a lot of issues going on with him, and it didn't take much for you to disagree. And then the next thing you know, he wants to, you know, become violent with you. Okay. So I'm still in that sort of thing, but I'm on my way out. And I'm struggling with the fact that I'm not as happy as those around me. A lot of those around me were what I described earlier in this message. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, did I even make the right decision? I mean, the children of darkness look quite content, you know. I mean, that's the way it is sometimes. The children of darkness look like they're really children of light. And the children of light really look like children of darkness. And then you have those that say, don't judge, don't, you know, talk about me, don't criticize me, don't, because you're unhappy. You see, so your witness doesn't go very far. Your testimony doesn't go very far when you're struggling on the inside with whether or not you made the right decision to walk down the aisle. Because you see, they don't tell you that they're going to hate you like they hated Jesus. Because I think that if we knew all of that, most of us wouldn't have been so quick to go down that aisle. If we knew every single thing in advance as to what we would go through coming up out of darkness and going into the light. Now, some folks will be offended by that. You know, I don't consider my lifestyle to be dark. I don't consider it to be, you know, a bad thing. You know, okay? And on the surface, most things that we do, they're just not bad things on the surface. They become bad, dare we say that, wrong. Ugh, I mean, right and wrong, here we go again. They become that way because we have yet to really delve deep spiritually as far as the challenges and the obstacles and the sin and all of that. And then lo and behold, one day, the end result does show up. Now it looks bad. Before I didn't, you know, I wasn't challenged. I didn't have all the obstacles and all of that going on. There was nothing that made me feel depressed. There was nothing that made me feel suicidal or feel like I was an outcast or anything else. So on the surface, it was good. It was right. It was my truth and all that. But then when all of the consequences and the obstacles and the challenges and people saying that what you're doing is wrong and bad and whatever else, now it looks bad. It feels bad. And I don't know if I made the right decision. Some of you in the light, in the dark, on the right, on the left, you know, a little bit different, what have you. You can relate to that if we can't agree on anything else. You can relate to that, you see. As long as no one is coming to you and telling you something is right and something is wrong, you're good. But then someone could still come and tell you that and you're still good. You know why? Because you're walking in your truth, irregardless of what the world thinks. That's the one thing we can all respect. Is that you're walking in your truth. If that's the lifestyle that you want, at least you're being honest. But that jealous heterosexual Christian that's, you know, just trying to play this little game, you know, to put on this little front, saying things like, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm fine. That one right there, that's the one that ends up being our worst nightmare because he or she is not walking in truth, they're not content with who they are, and you're not going to get much from them because they're just as weak, if not weaker, than you are. Some can't even say, hi, what's going on? How are you doing? You know, or compliment you or anything. And it's like, and you want me to become a believer? Are you sure about that? And so going back to that time period between 1997 and 98, and I'm doubting this. This isn't good for me. I don't think so. 'Cause I like to be around free-spirited type of folks. You know, I feel like I'm kind of isolating myself and I'm creating a division and all that. And at some point, the Lord spoke to me as I was going through, you know, these things. He spoke to me and he said, you're going through a metamorphosis. You're going through a change. You're evolving. This is what happens when you become a new creature in Christ. You start questioning the things that you never questioned before. It doesn't mean that you're creating a great divide. It doesn't mean that you're isolating yourself. But what it does mean is that you are finally expressing who you are on a deeper level. But in order to get to your truth, you've got to look around and question all things, all people, all places and stuff like that, including yourself. Am I really content with who I am, what I'm doing, and where I'm going in this life? Is this really the right decision? There is nothing wrong with doing that, whether you're on the right or on the left. You don't have to always stick to whatever you committed yourself to stick to years ago. If you said that this is what I am, and then over time you changed, there is nothing wrong with that. Now, there will be those around you saying, hypocrite, liar, I thought you were this, I thought you were that. Oh, now you want to go over there. Now you want to do something different. Right? And those folks that cannot support you, you know, they don't have to, you know, love everything you do. They definitely don't have to sit and break bread with you. But you don't have to give them too much of your time. And then if they are not content with who they are, you definitely don't want to give them any of your time. You know, what does light have to do with darkness? What fellowship, you know, what love, what peace, what forgiveness, what can we get by sitting amongst a lot of individuals who say, I don't like you, or I don't like this, or what are you supposed to be doing, or who do you represent? Right off the back, when you see that sort of thing coming at you, oh, that's not for me. I'm walking in my truth. As I'm looking around, seeing things that I no longer like, no longer subscribe to, no longer want to be a part of. And there is a cutting away that takes place. There's the hurt. There's the upset. There's the isolation. There's the don't call me, I'll call you. No, I don't want you coming over here anymore. No, I can no longer give you any money. I can't give you any sex. I can't give you anything. I am trying to identify with who I am and what I want to do in life and all of that good stuff. And sometimes you've got to push people away, especially those controlling, toxic, emotional, and jealous heterosexual Christians that want to come in and infiltrate what God is trying to do in your life. Wait a minute, I thought that you were supposed to be happy. I thought you were supposed to be, you know, doing some things for God. And you know who's sincere and who isn't sincere just by the way they are when you start having these aha moments, these eye-opening types of experiences, things that come to you where we can all say, yes, that's paranormal, that's God, that's something different. And then that jealous heterosexual Christian sitting there looking at you like, I doubt that. No, I'm sure God didn't tell you that because, well, look at your lifestyle. But I'm happy. I'm happy in this. Yeah, but you know, God isn't. Well, your God is not my God. How about, I don't even believe in a God, says the atheist. And if that's the life that a person chooses, if that is their personal belief, we respect it and we move on. When the relationship becomes difficult, and it will, because you believe the way you believe and that person believes in the way they believe, you have a choice to either work things out or say, I can no longer connect with this person any longer because of what God is doing in my life. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? The devil, see, he'll tell us in a minute, using various people, places, and things, that, oh yeah, those folks over there, they're wrong. Those believers, you know, those righteous folks, whatever they choose to call themselves, they're wrong. Okay? But we're not allowed to come over there and say to them, oh, but your lifestyle's wrong and the things that you do and all of this. See, he has his view, and then he doesn't want anybody to challenge his view. Okay? And the same holds true on the other side as well. We waste too much time, though, challenging people's views. Look, I'm sharing a message with you, and then I gotta go. Well, but what about this? What about? You can figure out all the whatabouts on your own. I gave you the seed. Now you can either water it or you can just let it die. It's up to you. There's far too many things that we could be doing, and those of us who are already doing, to be wasting time sitting there contemplating on happiness, on why everybody else is getting this and getting that, and they're so this and they're so that, and not me. So how did I come up out of that, though? How did I come up out of that mindset in 97, 98, doubting whether or not I made the right decision and all that? I had to read. I had to read the Holy Bible. I had to listen to some speakers who had already been there and done that. I had to also get around, people that promoted positivity, not arguments, not debates, not criticizing me. And I hate to say it, that those that I used to run with that are out in the world and all of that, I knew that they were not going to make it comfortable for me to be a believer. I knew that they were not going to allow me to walk in my truth. I knew that they were going to convince me that I was making the wrong decision. And basically, they were going to recruit me back in that miserable place that I was in with them. That was not my truth. I was not content. And so therefore, I chose a different path. There are some of you all that you have tried many different paths. And initially, you are in this euphoric type of phase, and then gradually you start coming down and you hate things and you don't like this and I wish these people and all of that. And I'm sure you guys know some folks like this. They are pretenders. They are hypocrites. It's not just Christians. There's hypocrites in every single one of these various lifestyle choices that people make. They're phony. They say they're happy. They say that they're, you know, at peace. And they're really not. You have to know that you know that you know that whatever decision you made, whether you got married to someone, had a baby, relocated, met someone new, or what have you, you got to be content with that in order for it to work. If you're not content with it, I don't care what money they give you. I don't care what opportunity you might have. If you're not content with it, it's all of that euphoria and stuff, it fizzles out. And then you're left looking at yourself in the mirror saying, I can't believe I did what I did. Okay? Now, it might be like that temporarily. That's what happened with me. It was temporary because, like I said, though, I had to step out. I had to do some more things to, if you want to say, persuade myself, convince myself. But then eventually I recognized that it was the right thing. I didn't care so much about how I felt, but what's right? Sometimes you just got to say to yourself, what's right? What's right? Is all this stuff that I'm doing right now, is it really worth all of the pain, the agony, the suffering and all of that? And there is that peace that you do come to after you go through the doubting phase. There's this peace where you say, okay, Lord, have your way. And when you say that, oh, he gonna have his way. Your world slowly but surely, it changes. And that's where some folks start questioning again. Does change have to be so challenging at times? Do I have to go through so much? I mean, yes, you have to be refined. Your mindset has to become more godly. And God is going to allow all sorts of trials to help you get to that place. Another prayer that I prayed was, I want to hear from you, God. If you're not ready to hear from God, you shouldn't say that type of prayer, because God is going to show up in all sorts of ways, talking, using people to talk to you about your ugly self. And I remember seeing this vision of my ugly self. We're talking about not, you know, in the flesh. We're talking about in a spiritual realm where it was demonic. It was dark. It was the most hideous, ugliest thing I ever seen. It scared me to see it. And he said, that's what you look like right now. And I'm telling you, that's a humbling experience. He said, but I'm going to do some things in your life. And he told me all of these different things. But I had to trust in him. Like, we can see how easy it is to trust, you know, someone that we truly love and all that. We have to have that same type of mindset when it comes to trusting the Lord. Okay, I trust you. I trust that you're doing what's right, Lord, in my life. Jesus, take the wheel. You see. But this envy that some of the Christians have as they're transitioning from darkness to light, sometimes they don't get very far and they become rebellious once again because it's just too much work. And you can see where they are in their development. Like a child, you know, you have a newborn and then the newborn becomes a toddler. And then the toddler, you know, is growing into this elementary school age child. And then you know the whole progress. So that sort of thing takes place with the Christian. And you can see who's in the infancy stage by the way they handle situations, by the way they talk. You can still see who's weak. You know, because they're still doing the same old stuff and they don't look very different and they don't look very happy either, you know, and they don't, and they're not very confident in what they're saying when you sit down and talk to them, when you start asking questions, and then they're coming across like, I really don't know. I just got here. And it's like, really? You know, so there's a lot of this strange sort of stuff, if you will, that takes place with that Christian who is jealous, who's doubtful, and I don't really know, this is too much. And so they retard their growth. You can only befriend them for so long before they end up saying something or doing something that causes you to question, should you even be connected with them? Now, all of this sums up to one word, and that's being rebellious. You know, rebellion. And we can see that with teenagers and parents. The teenager says, I don't want to listen to you. You know, you get on my nerves, mom or dad or whatever, and you this and you that. And so they go off and they do everything that you told them not to do. Okay. That's the same thing that happens with the jealous heterosexual Christian who says, I'm not going to do this anymore. I feel like I'm confined into a box. And so they go out and they want to explore sexually. They want to do everything immorally because they had so much jealousy for so long looking at everybody else. That the Christian life, that's not for me. And so they go out and they do what they want to do. Only to find themselves later on in life, because you can't shake God. That's one thing. You can try. But later on in life, they come back talking about, please pray for me. I might not go to church. I may not, you know, trust the Lord at times. But, you know, I trust your prayers. So pray for me. And it's sad to see someone be on fire for the Lord only to come down slowly or rapidly because they just don't want God to navigate their lifestyle. They'll accept God. They'll, you know, talk to some folks periodically about Jesus, but they don't want God to navigate their lifestyle because they've looked around and they saw that, well, this man, he's okay, even though he sinned, and this woman, she did all these bad things, and folks around her died, but yet she still lives. And this guy, he seems like he's quite content being with all of these different, you know, males, And then what about, you know, this one? You know, she's making all this money and she didn't play fairly. She didn't live honestly. And God says, stop looking at all of that because, oh, they're going to reap. You may not live to see it, but they are going to reap, or their children reap, or the grandchildren reap. Well, I just don't see, you know, any right or wrong or good or bad. Yeah, well, Satan deceives us. He wants you to feel that way so that he can have his way with you. Just like God moves on the spirit of men and women to do what's right, that little feeling, whatever, the gut feeling, whatever you want to call it, it moves you to do what's right, even if you never cracked open a Bible. And then there's that other feeling that tells you, go ahead on and live a little. Enjoy your life. And so you're fighting through all of that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You have leaders that they are not Christian. You have people over you that are not the least bit believers. And so they tell you to do A, B, and C. And you wrestle with that. Well, after a while, I know that happened in my situation. I said, Lord, you know that now that I'm walking with you, there's certain things that go on at my job. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. Do your job because I'm going to get you another one. And they ended up having some major issues economically. Offices started closing up. Next thing I know, the Lord opened up a door for me. Faster than most people in the department. But before that happened, he had moved on my spirit to tell folks about a dream I had where they were going to be laying off people and all this other stuff before the announcements were even made. And I went around and I told people. And those that believed, they started putting those resumes out. And those that didn't believe, oh well. They sat around and waited for some unemployment checks. But I was the first in my area that ended up having a job within weeks. I'd say a couple of them. So, you know, we can look around all we want and say, well, she got a car, she got a house, and he saved up his money, and he's talking about starting a business, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. We could do that all we want. And then we'll miss out on our blessings that's coming. If I had been so focused on those people and what they had and who they knew and going around networking with folks, well, do you know this or do you know that? I would have been spending more time doing that than looking for a job. You see. Proverbs 14, 16, and 17 says, a wise man, notice a wise man. What is wisdom really? Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is that knowledge that you cannot get, okay, from books. You can't. It's the type of information that is spiritually downloaded. A wise man feareth, he fears, and departeth from evil. Look, here comes evil. I can't have anything to do with that. And he gets away from it. The jealous heterosexual Christian is curious. The jealous heterosexual Christian wants to know, oh, what's going on over here? Well, you know, I might end up doing something here because I don't know about continuing this lifestyle. Right? But the fool rageth and is confident. The jealous heterosexual Christian ends up turning into a fool. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Here's the answer to your question for some of you all wondering. What happened that Christian was acting so crazy and just ruthless and all of that? He was harboring, or she was harboring, all sorts of evil within. And a lot of times, it was just lip service. It wasn't a true commitment to Christ Jesus. It was just lip service. It was for show. Everybody was looking at them in their nice little outfit as they walked down the aisle. And they felt like a person does on Facebook getting 100+ likes. But as far as walking in that, they weren't the least bit interested in doing that. And you see it because the next week or so, you don't look so happy. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So for those who know full well that they have been acting a bit jealous because, you know, things aren't working out and they want what other people have and they're being covetous as well. And, you know, just got a lot of negative stuff going on with them. You've been forewarned if you rebel. It's better to just allow those emotions to take place, but at the same time, give them over to the Lord. Because your body is going through everything. The mind, body, and spirit is going through everything when you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The metamorphosis could take months, years, lifetime, depending on what it is that you're grappling with and that you're unwilling to let go. And those jealous emotions will keep you tied to it. They're married. I'm not. She's pretty. I'm not. He's handsome. He's so happy, even though he's so sinful, but he's so happy. I don't even know why I even bother with this lifestyle. This is just boring. You know, it's not even cool. It's not even fun. But you walk with the Lord long enough, oh, it gets very interesting. Trust you me. I can't explain it at times because you will be sitting there minding your own business. And the next thing you know, life just got interesting. Sudden phone calls, emails, opportunities show up. You're sitting up here like, this is nothing but God, because nobody knew what I was thinking. Nobody knew that I needed this. You see? So I hope that this gives you peace of mind. That if you are that jealous heterosexual Christian wishing to explore and, you know, get a little bit down and dirty, think twice, really think twice, because it's just not worth it. And I will tell you that I was told years ago that the devil's going to get you if you cross back over here doing whatever you want to do. And I said, what you mean? They said, because for every time that you went to church and you was praising the Lord, he going to torture you. Because you operating without protection, and all those people you talk to that was offended and what have you. They're going to be real happy to see your downfall. You see? See how evil? But it's the truth, though. That's why it's best that if you do feel weak, you give God those weaknesses. Get behind closed doors. Set yourself down. Don't be communicating with people because they will read you. And they will, you know, kind of speculate that you aren't that happy and you got something going on with you. If you don't feel comfortable sharing it, then shut your mouth and do not share stuff with people that's struggling. If not as bad as you, worse. Keep your business, especially your spiritual business, keep your spiritual business to yourself. Well, as always, I thank you for listening. Let us take this time out to pray for those of you all who were just curious about the message, but you're not into, you know, prayer and all that. Then please do click off. But for those of you all who are, please hang on. Dear Lord, I take this time out right now to pray for all of those individuals who are just struggling with their walk with you. I pray, Lord, that you will just restore their mind, their body, and their spirit and take away whatever or whoever is offending them greatly. I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that your peace be upon this individual who just took the time out to listen to this lengthy message. And I pray that he or she will be blessed and that your favor will continue to fall upon him or her. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your angels of protection will encamp all around this man or woman. I thank you in Jesus' name. Continue to walk with the Lord. Continue to allow him to order your steps. Thank you for listening.